And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in, again, I gotta ask Donna, where the heck are we? Birch Run. It's kind of west of Flint, Michigan. You know, I've been to Flint, Michigan in the mid, it was early 80s, and I used to work for, I was a manager for Domino's Pizza back in the day. That's where I met Donna. She was a student at Penn State, and we had friends that had a couple stores there while we were opening one in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, a franchisee, a friend of mine that, you know, had a franchise. And you work for a year as general manager, you get qualified as a franchisee, and then you go get a store. Well, I wanted Cortland, New York, and somebody in the office wanted that, and I couldn't. They said, well, Ernie, well, you know, we'll do you solid and everything. You can have Flint. There was a store here that, you know, was a company store. They wanted to go franchise. And that was me. I went, and I'm like, hell no. Flint, Michigan, it was, you had to pay $3,500 a month for a security guard to go with to deliver some of the projects. And I go, and I was well known for, when dorms or frats or whatever be a pain, I just turn them off. And I go, you know, Domino's Pizza, sorry, we don't deliver Carnarvon Hall. I mean, I'd answer the phone like that. And what? I'm in Carnarvon Hall. I go, yeah, when you get those freshmen down in the first floor taken care of, you guys let me know. Within a day, they had me come back. Their payphone was ripped off the wall. They were busted down there, beating individuals, whatever. And they go, we got it taken care of. Don't worry about it. Because they would, you know, hassle the drivers or stiff them, you know, pay them, and just all kinds of stuff was going on. So they took care of business themselves. Well, the same kind of thing happens with apartment buildings or something. I mean, you know, I'm a business owner. I can just say, we don't go there. You know, you rob the guys, you beat them up, it's not safe, you know, we're not going. But that's called redlining, and you're not allowed to do that. And you had to deliver, you had to put them in peril, and you had to pay security to go with them. And I'm like, that is like, so I'm not raising a family here. That ain't happening, you know. So we just said, nope, I think we'll decline. You know, this is right when, you know, Donna and I were engaged to get married and everything. And I go, no, I went back to Arizona. And but now, you know, Flint, I don't know, it's beautiful. You know, it's really nice. Of course, we're not down in the city, but it's really nice. Now, Flint was one of the main, you know, Detroit, Flint, where they had General Motors and whatever. You know, they're making some cars. That's one thing that's interesting about the Great Lakes is how much iron ore is shipped. See, that's one of the reasons, you know, why Detroit? Who gives a crap about Detroit? I tell you what, let's make a worldwide industry a kick butt and build cars in, let me think, Detroit. Why? Because that's where the steel was, the iron. You know, that's why you got Pittsburgh and in Pennsylvania, it's the rivers. You know, what do they call it, Three Rivers something there? And it's the be able to transport the raw materials cheaply. So these big ships, you know, they'd be filled with iron ore, and they would go and, you know, you add coal or coke or whatever, and you know, heat it up and you stir it a little bit, and you have 12-year-olds open valves, and you know, and steel comes out, you know, basically. So doing that kind of, you know, industry, and jobs. And then what happens? Politics gets involved. Well, you know, they destroyed that. Just like, you know, on the front of Freeman's Phoenix right now, it's called Salon Owner Joins Tucker Carlson, pushes back on Pelosi's claim she was set up. What's happened? Pelosi is from San Francisco. I remember in the 06 campaign when we were camped out at Camp Casey, you know, in Crawford, Texas, when George W.W. Bush was www.warmonger.com Bush, was as rants there and so on. They had a bunch of anti-war protesters there that quickly turned into a progressive left woman. You could see it coming. I've seen exactly it. They are funded. They are paid. There are organizations that have people, and they're young people that don't, they're, you know, campers. I mean, they go, you know, where do I got to go? What do I got to do? What, you know, give me whatever, feed me. I mean, you know, fuel my revolution here. I'll go where you want me to stand. Oh, you want some rhetoric? You know, okay, well, teach me some what to say. You know, now you with the internet, and then all these different groups, like, God, man, it was a bunch of blogs. It was like Raw Story and Common Dreams and Daily Cause and all that. I mean, you could see them. There were a guy with a laptop and a table that they created for him in a house of peace. I saw this happen. And these are the guys that are going, and what happened? The move on, they abandoned Cindy Sheehan. That was the center of this whole thing about your son died for a noble cause when you went and visited the White House with W. Bush. You know, your son died for a noble cause. And later she's like, noble cause? What noble cause? What was the noble cause? She asked, what was the noble cause? He wouldn't say. So that was became the chant. What noble cause? What noble cause? What noble cause? That was the thing. Then move on, right? We're getting towards the 06 election. Pelosi, you know, is running in, she's like going to be speaker and all this kind of stuff, running in San Francisco. And what happens? They move on, goes to Cindy Sheehan. I was there when they did it. And they go, you say phased withdrawal or we pull support. Because she's saying, you know, like Ron Paul thing, you just march in, we just march out. And they go, no, phased withdrawal. Because it went forever war. Left, right, it's all the same people. They just control the same. It's all CNI. Hell, it's a pyramid. They got independent, green, whatever, the libertarians. It's all part of, they're all part of the same thing. I can give you all kinds of, you know, just, you know, you don't got to trust me. Just use your own damn common sense. Oh, a political party that has 50-state ballot status and has, you know, the ability to pull and make kingmakers out of different, you know, governorships and U.S. Senators and congressmen and presidents and everything, you know, but we wouldn't want to control that little old party over there because that would be wrong. We wouldn't do that. I mean, come on. They're the backhand stupid people and say, of course they do. So, what happened? Pal Gamma, my senior editor, running for Congress, he just slapped him around. Well, they believe, the Democrats, that Kyrsten Sinema, that came Congress and now is Arizona State Senator, she owes her position to the Libertarians running. So what do? They fund whatever target. Libertarian go, hey, man, we'll run. And God, boom, here's $60,000, knock yourself out. All the time, openly, on my show. Not a secret. You know, and fortunately, I did James Corbett last night, and I was going, yeah, what do you think of, you know, something about them appointing and doing it? I'm going to savor this moment forever. Ernie cares about who got elected of something, 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 something. And he just really beat me up for not being anarchist enough. Everybody wants to get on my ass for not being anarchist enough, you know. You can never be Christian enough. You can never be anarchist enough. You can never be, you know, something enough. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, look, I vote for none of the above. That's for damn Skippy. You think voting's going to do it, ain't it. But that doesn't mean I don't pay attention to what they're doing. And what they did is when they did that to Cindy, she wouldn't do it, and they just disowned her. Well, then, what did she do? She ran against Pelosi in the 08 election. Or 10, whatever. Yeah, it was one of the ones right after that. Pelosi and her. And then what's going on with Pelosi in San Francisco now? That's a little bit of backstory. I'll tell you the rest when we come back. Get on the edge of your seat. Here she comes. Be right back. Oh, yeah. And Starlink, 60 more got put up.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Okay, lots of stuff to go on. Man, I got a bunch of stuff. We're going to yak it. Yep. All right. First, let's finish up on the Pelosi thing. Now, what happened was, it's after the 06 election. This was the build-up to Obama. Now, Obama already slated, they had him, you know, in the wings of here we go, and, you know, the Chicago machine of the Soros, whatever the hell, here they come. So it was all the Democrats had was anti-war. Now it's just orange man bad, but they had, it was anti-war while they were, you know, supporting the war. The 06 election happens. They get a bunch of Democrats in. Pelosi becomes the Speaker of the House, and immediately they continue like $80 billion extra money for the war thing. In the name of peace or something, whatever the hell they were doing, they just keep funding it. And we're sitting there, certainly anti-war activists, and we're covering it on the radio. And so we're just going, look, you guys see what's going on, right? You know, of course not. You know, because the media is the media. They, oh, you think they were less controlled then? I mean, you know, and it was the rise of alternative media. And they tried to make it like the alternative media that they were supporting, this progressive left thing, was like somehow different. You know, they were the same. They were just like the, you know, the shock troops or the, you know, advance squad or the, you know, the scouts or something. I mean, I don't know what the hell. They were leading the charge and getting them, you know, they were just falling in line. And all they need is just some algorithm to tell, oh, the people think, and it be robots. I mean, it's just so stupid. And anybody that knew anything, a lot of us out there on the street, real activists, we knew exactly what was going on. You know, this is all contrived. Well, after the 06 election, Democrats showed their true stripes. Man, we're going to get us some more war. That's what happened to the anti-war movement. It evaporated. There was a, if it wasn't for antiwar.com and libertarians, it wouldn't even, I don't know, where else would it be? I mean, where else is it? I don't see nothing. It's just people in the streets, and they'll get you to come out and protest. And after a while, you just got to, it's, you know, just look and see who's in charge of it, who's doing it. You know, who's the one that's doing it? You know, the closest we came was the Ron Paul Revolution. That was definitely anti-war. But, you know, got a lot of progressives there. Do you get the real anti-war people and the real people that understand how it's funded, the Federal Reserve, all this debt stuff and everything. In fact, that's why, you know, they need wars. They need to spend more money or create it or whatever. I mean, it's just so obvious. If you really care, if you're paying attention, if you're asking the right questions, hell, if you're even asking a question. So then Pelosi gets in, war's coming, here comes Obama. Oh, I'm an anti-war candidate. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, Dr. Paul, you know, kind of beat the crap out of that. And but then Obama gets in. And it was interesting to have America have a black president and a black first lady. That was probably out of the whole thing. That was probably, you know, the cool part right there. I'm going, yeah, that's it. Are we done with that now? I mean, you got a black president. Can we check that box off? Are we good? You know, is everybody happy now that we got that one done? And that was never really an issue. But then I had the Southern Poverty Law Center guys on a regular basis. And their thing was, if you're anti-government, you were racist. And I mean, they said it on my show, and I'm going, explain that to me. What the hell are you talking about? Well, the president is black, and if you don't like, you know, the government of which there's a black president, then you're racist. And I'm going, wow, is that easy, huh? I'm going, you know, it's been ridiculous and getting more so as time goes on. But you can see the beginnings of this stuff. So Cindy Sheehan ran against Pelosi as the anti-war alternative. Well, they crushed her. They went after. They did any and everything they could, and kind of, you know, the machine is, oh, hell no. You know, they propped her up and made her the big giant. And, of course, she thought that, you know, she had support of stuff she didn't. I mean, she did. I mean, a lot of people liked her, but, you know, the machine wasn't going to come out for her. You know, it was going to be, you know, they made it clear. You know, we will drag you through the mud, and they did. And we've had events at our home. She's come. We've done fundraising things. We helped, you know, Cindy with a lot of stuff. Charles Goyette and I were big supporters early on before anybody even knew who the hell she was. She used to write articles on Lou Rockwell before all this stuff. She was a Gold Star Families, you know, the people that have lost children in the war. And so this is, we. I don't think I know. I know how they do this. So this, you go, all right, so now where are we now? Here's the same person in San Francisco. It's crushed. Excuse me. Couldn't find the cough button. Where is it, man? They have crushed businesses there. So I'm going, okay, wear a mask. You can't open. You know, San Francisco worse than most. That California man, they just driving it into the ground. Who? Now, Elon Musk was like, yeah. We're opening the factory. Come arrest me. I know what you're doing. You're not shutting down my factory. I'm on the line, man. Let's do it. I'll be first. Bring it on. And they go, if you guys piss me off, we're towing our Fremont factory, Northern California. We're going somewhere else. Go Texas. Okay? They're screw him. And we're, you know, getting all woke and everything. And he goes, really? Message received. That's all he did. You know, I understand. It's all good. Don't worry about it. You just kicked us out. Pace. But he stayed open. And they go, oh, okay, well, we're going to give you a county exemption. You kind of, you did, and we'll say you kissed a ring and whatever the hell. You know? But imagine that on every level, all the way down from there. Hell, up. I don't know if he's the only. I don't know what they've got. You know, the hair salons are closed. So Pelosi went to this one hair salon. That was a nice salon. She had her own stylist, I mean, own person. But they oftentimes, not every stylist owns a beauty salon. They lease or rent space. They got a chair. So that was one thing. Donna and I, yeah, we'll probably have to go into the next segment on this, because I'll tell you this story. Donna and I, we have a business called Motivity Services and Concierge Services. They were services, auto detailing, laundry. We were just starting to get into pool cleaning, and landscaping was on next on the list. But one that I, because I saw it on LA Law, which was a TV series about LA lawyers back in the 80s, where, and I go, yeah, mobile hair cutting. I go, this is awesome. I'll set it all up. I'll pay for it, get the chair and all that, hire, you know, people to go, you know, pace. Let's go, you'll go mobile hair cutting. We go there and cut the guy. I always tend to take out time, go get my hair cut. Nope, I go, what? Why? Nope, you got to have a chair. You want to sell beauty products, you know, like different brands and so on and different stuff. And just, you have to have a salon. So what they would do is they have these beauty supplies, they have a chair in the back that nobody used. They cut somebody's hair once a month or something like that. Just say they did so they could sell different products. Or you had to have a chair that somebody had to license. All of a sudden, it was a monopoly. It was an association thing. It was, you know, controlling who could compete. I could see it.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
And we're back. Got a good signal. That seems like it now. So I just wanted a small businessman, you know, we're a young family, having our kids, growing our business, and, you know, it is Motivity Services. And we still kept a lot of the auto detail, and that was, you know, probably the most profitable for us. And it was hard work, but I have buffed thousands of cars, man. I do a wet sanding. I can make your black piece of crap GM-painted Corvette, you know, look like wet fingernail polish. For $600. But the you know, been doing a lot of times dealerships for that very reason. The paint job in their Corvettes sucks so bad that some of them, you know, have clients, they want that fixed. They pay me to come do it and get a lot of insurance stuff, you know, overspray and urethaning roofs and they trash and I, you know, and then I got burned, you know, and that, you know, the chemicals and we had changed that. But the one of the ideas was a mobile hair salon. You know, it's like you got mobile pet grooming. You know, yeah, come in my nice air-conditioned RV in front of your house. I just come to you on, you know, boom, done. You know, bring, you know, have your baby in a stroller, right, you know, whatever the hell. Or come in and do, you know, what? Illegal. Why? Competition. You're not allowed. We, in 1994, later, I understood this, so we did a, it was a front page first initiative that we highlighted. On Citizens Taking Initiative, we filed in Arizona to deregulate dental hygienists because dental hygienists had to operate under the license of a dentist, and he didn't even have to be there. They had to be available so that they had his pager on out back then when they, you know, wore pagers and phones. He's on the golf course, you know, freaking chilling, whatever. No one's got a pager. He's got dental hygienists that by law couldn't work unless they worked for him, making him money while he's chilling. And I'm going, who the hell makes this stuff up? What's the mindset that well, it's they, them, those crap. You know, I've been living with this my whole freaking adult life, seeing that this is just, that stupid does not stand forever. It's amazing. It'll go decades, though, generations. But sooner or later, it's like, what? So Pelosi has a hairdresser that can't just go to her. You know, or she didn't want her to have the facility or wants to sit in the chair or wants to go to a nice place. She rents, leases a chair from this woman that owns a salon in San Francisco. So what happens, she goes in, she says, gets a call from the assistant to Pelosi. We want to schedule a time to come down and, you know, the speaker wants to get her hair done. You know, get a wash and blow out or something. Not even cut it, just wants to blow, wants to, I don't know, wants to look nice for somebody. She's like the mayor of Chicago. Well, I have to look nice. You know, screw all you peasants. You know, I'm the mayor. I get my hair done. I mean, literally, it was the same, you know, same thing. You know, it's the way they think. So what happens? She calls in. She says, hey, I need to use the salon. I got, you know, Pelosi wants to come in and get, like she has many times before. And, you know, nobody else can go in. That's illegal, and you get slapped around. But, you know, she can. So she goes in, and for 5 years, she's had surveillance cameras, color, you know, kind of walking in and out. Sees Pelosi walk in. And what really pissed her off was not wearing a mask. Not that I care. But I'm going, you know, the whole thing was is that, well, you know, aren't you risking us? Aren't we, this whole thing is about a mask and you got, you know, not only am I closed, not only are you coming in, you think you're privileged, you're not even wearing a mask. So it's like, what the hell is going, this is all BS. Of course it is. So Pelosi comes in, gets her hair cut, goes, and the owner, pissed, you know, goes to look at surveillance cameras. She's not even wearing a mask. Boom. Puts it out on the internet or something. Somehow it gets out. You know, I'm sure she did it. And she puts it out there and said, this is the hypocrisy that we're dealing with. Pelosi comes out like all sociopaths. This is the tendency. This is what we learned from Dr. Frank. Coming on today, Trump Report, third hour, Trump Report. No. So I guarantee he's going to be talking about this. anyway. So puts a video out, and of course it went viral. So the tendency of sociopaths is you always blame the other person for what it is that you're doing. And I've noticed this before. It was like, you know that they're, it's like, you know, to deflect from them. No, I'm not doing it. You are. No, I'm not. You are. No, I'm not. You are. Well, they are or not. It's not even the point. It's just, that's the, you know, I guess you can, you know, discover sociopaths in the third grade. Nuh-uh, you are. Oh, is this learned behavior or is it a character trait, is a brain connection or something? I, you know, I've seen it. And you know, you have friends that you grow up with and people you know in high school, and you see these tendencies, their character is the same. You know, it goes on unless they get traumatized, slapped around a punch in the face at the right time. You know, that's how they're going to be. No, I'm not. You are. Okay. So that's what Pelosi did. Blamed the salon owner. She tricked me. She tricked me. She somethinged me. You know, nuh-uh, it's not my fault. You know, she did it. Wow. This is who's speaker, that most powerful woman in the U.S. government, Speaker of the House. And this is what you get. And what's going to happen this election? I don't really care. You know, I'm with Corbett. You know, Corbett, oh, he jumped on my crap, man. He's like, I'm going to cherish this moment forever that Ernie gives a crap who gets appointed to blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, it's a sign, man. I'm telling you, you got these people. It's a sign that either the people are broken or the system is. And I vote system. I don't think the people are that broken. I can't imagine that the people are that stupid. And I don't think they're that stupid because they're still, like, feeding themselves. You know? They're still, walking around. Not dead. I'm wow. This is just so wow that I'm very wowed by the wowness of it. So it's what's going to happen in this election cycle. They have to do what they always have to do. They have to lie, cheat, steal. You know, this is what got me involved. I wanted to understand it. And keep in mind, I came at this from economic, from commerce, from exporting of my father's camping trailer. And there was I could see weird stuff going on at the time. For 10 years, Canada had no duties or anything with America. We get raped going up there, but they did for 10 years. They worked some kind of deal. I don't know how, this would not have happened in the Make America Great First Again Trump stuff. This is exactly the kind of crap that was going on. You just pay some United States trade representative to whatever and a little something-something to a congressman, and all of a sudden you got laws. And Japan, you know, business was open, man. They were really taking care of themselves and kicking our butt. There was a competition for my father's trailer called the Camperoo out of Australia. They shipped it to Canada with the wheels off. Then they didn't have to pay any duty there. They ship it for free, no duty or anything in the United States. And then they put the wheels back on. That was assembly in the United States, putting the wheels on. And I'm going, right. For us to go to Australia, it was 70% duty on anything that was a vehicle that went on the road. That was kind of their classification. And then protect their car industry or whatever. Then you had in Canada, it was like some god out 40-60% or something. I remember this because my father had as a prize at a big camper show thing, whatever, in Little Rock, Arkansas. It was the only one I ever went with him with. He needed help. He goes, this could be a big one. So I went with him. And I was like, I don't know, 24, 5, something like that, married, have kids. And I go, yeah, I'll go with you. I'll take a week. We'll drive out. And he had a big, truck and everything. It was a really cool truck. Had his models in there, and he gave the cargo one away. He had them listed at wholesale price because the guy had to pay like $400 in duty to take it across the border.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, covering the sheep, exposing the lies. Yep, the trade restrictions. It's always that the U.S. was taking it in the rear, and for some, I never really understood. Oh, I guess we're just we're really cool and rich, and we should let people screw us or something. Because my whole thing was when I was doing this activism and stuff, my father's company. I was looking for. Why aren't we just have the same, whatever they charge us, we charge them. Just keep it parity or something. And then I found out that they had, this is the Uruguay round of the GATT Treaty and all this. I got involved in that and the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act of 1988 and all this other stuff. Well, one of the things is called the harmonized code. If you have a, like Australia, anything that had wheels, you know, I think anything had wheels, tricycles, bicycles, cars, semis, wheels, you know, wheels, it was, you know, one classification. If it was automotive in other countries, it would be just, you know, selective, determined to be automotive. So you'd have, you know, like they'd get around it, they'd make some car part that would be for bicycle or something. I mean, you know, it's just crazy stuff. Well, I go, there should just be, you know, like one thing. Well, there was. It was called the harmonized something code. And it was everybody had this, whatever, you know, this thing was, an antenna for a car radio or whatever. Well, it'd be under the same classification for everybody for export and import. Because it was hard for them to get, and this was happening in the late 80s. If you turn it on the news, there for a while, for God, a year or two, it was always about the trade deficit, our trade deficit of this and that and how much in this category. It was just numbers. Whatever the number is, if they're spouting some number, they're ready to have a dial or a switch or a slide or a button or something to change that number. If you're watching the news and they're going on about numbers, the unemployment rate, the interest on this, the stock market, whatever, they're doing something. They come up with a new number that's all, you know, like COVID deaths or COVID cases or whatever the hell they're doing. They want to have some ability to change that number. That's why they're making this. This is the new most important number in the world, and we got to change the number, and the guy can change the number in the best direction that we say is the best direction. Yeah, you vote for him. You know, it's manipulation by number. The biggest number that we get manipulated by so much is what's the number that all of us see all the time as we're driving around? It's the gas prices on the corner. You want to see, you know, it depends on the election cycle. You know, what time, is it really low, really high? It depends who's in office and who benefits from high or low. Or kind of, I mean, you know, it's just a thing. Getting the point that they're starting to lose control of it, and it's you know, whatever, numbers, influence, manipulation, numbers made you look. And that's what I try and do. My thing is all the stuff that we do. Do you think, you know, I get a few hundred signs, a few thousand signs up around America, and it's going to change anything? You know, that's not what it is. It's the inspiration to others that it changes. That's what happens. That is not, you know, I'm not, it's not a number, a sign, a slogan, you know, any one place that does it. It's the inspiration it has on others that grows. It's a viral thing. So this is, in the Telegram, one person says, hey, you know, could we make a stencil, you know, hashtag expose Bill Gates, which is becoming a thing, you know? And I'm going, why, yes, we can. Not only do, you know, we're going to, today we'll wind up at Rick's, you know, we're going to get some more supplies and we'll be there this evening, start getting set up and mass producing signs, maybe even tonight, certainly by tomorrow for Friday night. And one of the things that we're doing is doing video on how to do it, the different methods and techniques. I got to go get a small, because, you know, it's, we used to have an overhead projector, like in school, you have these transparencies that the big, that was a pain in the butt, but now they got itty-bitty little digital projectors that fit in your pocket the size of a little recorder you plug into your computer and it projects up for an audience of whatever the hell. I'm going, these are awesome. I wish I had, I want one of them. You know, so we'll get that. We'll project up. We'll cut out, expose Bill Gates into waterproof wallboard, which we can be able to roll up. It's $50, $80 for us to send these plywood stencils and so on. That's ridiculous. But you do these tube mailers, now you're down like in the teens, man. You're like $13 or something. What happens when we do, now to make them stiff and lay flat, you got to kind of heat them, put them out in the sun, put a blow dryer on them, a heat gun or something, and that vinyl stuff kind of lays flat again. You want them stiff, you can screw, you know, little one-by pieces of wood on there in strategic places to make it where to lay flat. So I'm going, well, hell, just roll it up. We'll put the wood in with it. Hell, I'll put some screws in with it, you know? Put it in the tube and send it. Boom! Hashtag expose Bill Gates, along with maybe something else, too. You feel me? So is it, I got to sit around shipping those and doing that and not making money and wasting my time of kind of whatever? Yeah, maybe. I mean, if somebody needs them, whatever. But the biggest thing is showing them how to do it. It's the virality of information. This virality, is that a word? Yeah, sounds like one. So we'll go ahead and start. We'll make some video and stuff of that. You know, I've been playing with the drone and doing work. I still have not even opened the box of the suggested walk and talk video of Luke. Told me how to, I'm sitting here looking at my schedule and I go, when am I going to have time? I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to edit this. I got to create. Maybe next Tuesday. Literally, you know, Donna and I, man, it's pounding. It's working. She drove a little bit yesterday just so I could get caught up on some stuff. You know, so we're at it, man. We're going as fast as we can. I'm glad a lot of people are doing as much as they are. It's very encouraging to see people doing a lot of stuff on their own, and they're going, yeah, you know, we're going to do this and we're doing that, and I'm inspired to, like, right on. That was the point, you know. So we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, and we're going to go by and visit some people and some stuff before we got, you know, like an extra week that we could, you know, do some things that we're going to make use of before they have the bus ready. So we're going, we got Taryn's RV. It's working out. You know, it's kind of it's only 32 feet instead of 40 feet. And that 10 foot makes a lot of difference, man. I tell you, hauling that bus around, it wouldn't like that too much. It's hard to turn around there. And this has got a really tight turning radius, too, so that helps. We got Delta now is banning travelers who refuse to wear masks. Now, they're pretty much doing this anyway, but has now created a no-fly list for such cantankerous travelers who will not be allowed on Delta flight in the future. You're not, you're not allowed. Because I don't want to wear it. Okay. Bye-bye. And this is how they get you, man. They want to, is your social credit score low enough that you aren't allowed on planes, trains, automobiles, buses? This happens. This is what's going on in China right now. You think it's not going to come here. When we started seeing that they were doing biometric identification for young men in Afghanistan, I'm like, there's a testing ground. Here we go. Here she comes. There it is. And it started in, it was December of 2002 when Terry Bressey, as a, you know, space watch or whatever, looking for meteors and asteroids going to, you know, kill all life on Earth at Kitt Peak. He's an astronomer at University of Arizona and a good libertarian, a friend of mine. And he's like on his way to Kitt Peak. They started having all these roadblocks on the Native American reservation there that you go through. And that's really, you know, we got their permission. They're sovereign land. They're sovereign when we want them to be sovereign. And they said we could, so we are, and blah, blah, blah. They're probably 60 miles north of the border, but that, you know, it was a immigrant checkpoint, Homeland Security of, because we can't. And he knew what was going on. Okay, get a libertarian, constitution and everything. And he's like, I know what you're doing. He had every alpha. He sat there and he refused ID, so they put him in handcuffs and sat him on the side of the road for 3-4 hours. Yeah, you'll come to your senses now. You go, I'm just sitting here watching what's up. And it was ICE and FBI and Border Patrol and the intelligence of blah, 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 every alphabet soup there could be. And he goes, I see what's coming. When he came on my show, we went over this. We knew what was happening. They are creating an industry to supply the security industrial complex. Little man boxes that were bulletproof that popped up on trailers and instant roadblocks pulled behind SUVs. That then starts going in for parking lot security and concerts and stuff. You know, all the armor, all the guns, all the binoculars, the night vision. I mean, it started, and you can see it in the name of security. And it happened with RapidScan. The RapidScan, you had Department of Homeland Security Director Chertoff goes in, represents a company that sells the machines at the airports. Irradiate you. Seriously, what do you think is going to happen with COVID?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare your independence from here in Stancock, here in, I don't know, west of Flint, somewhere central Michigan of green trees, which will be replaced by snow, and we won't be here. But it's really nice, really nice. That's one thing from Arizona, talking to, you know, some of the campers here and so on. Oh, the guy next door, he knew who I was. Oh, you're Ernest Hancock from the, wow, okay, there's that, you know. So, yeah, he's packing up now, getting ready to go. He has a really nice Airstream. What we were yakking about is new air. I mean, of course, they're, all the Airstreams look the same, but, man, this is pimped out. It looks more space capsule-y, kind of going on the Mars thing. And we're yakking it and so on. And there's COVID kind of, we just decided, we even live in Michigan. We just decided, hey, we go camping for a while, get away from all the crap. You know, he goes, yeah, my wife, she's more left and Democrat and kind of, and I'm more, you know, conservative and whatever. And, you know, we know who you are, though. And I go, from what? Ah, your radio show every now and then it shows up on our thing. We have friends and the Ron Paul thing and all that. And I'm like, all right, all right, all right, all right. So he got the Love Bus reference and everything. So that's cool. But we were, when we were chatting up and we started talking, it was because of bugs. I'm going, man, Arizona, you saw Arizona plate on the Jeep. You know, I'm going, yeah, that's one thing. You know, bug, you leave the door open here, man, damn, you know. But the, it hadn't been too bad, but damn it. I really dig that no bug thing. All right, so what we're going to do is go over the news and so on. I say you got some random stuff on Freedom's Phoenix. Freedomsphoenix.com, and you'll see what's up. All right, this is what's got me going. Let's see, we got Kurt Cousins, you know, he plays for the Vikings. He's a, I think he's quarterback, and he's going, yeah, I'm good. I'm not worried about the COVID thing. If I die, I die. I'm kind of, you know, I'm not afraid. Oh my God, you're not afraid. You need to be afeared. You need to be afraid. You should be afraid. You're not afraid enough. Nah, I'm good. During an interview, he went up against the advice of medical experts, including the CDC. Oh heavens, Murgatroyd. He's probably not doing what Fauci says either, who have said masks can prevent the spread of the virus and lead to the country gaining control of the pandemic. He goes, if one is the person who says masks are stupid, they're all a bunch of lemmings. And 10 is I'm not leaving my master bedroom for the next 10 years. Where do you land? He goes, I'm like a 0.00001. I'm not going to call anybody stupid for the trouble it would get me in, but I'm about a 0.00001, you know, which is what? If one is a person who says masks are stupid and you're all a bunch of lemmings, okay, that's him. He's like, nope, I'm good. You're not allowed, and you play for the NFL? You know, the National freaking League of do what we tell you? You know, so I'm – what we did see, I think it was what's his name? Johnson? Who's the Rock? What's his name? Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne Johnson bought the what used to be the XFL, the World Football League, or some competing football thing. I remember when they went on strike decades ago, it was they had a competing football league that everybody, yeah, screw you, and they just started, everybody, yeah, we'll go watch them. You know, we're waiting for the NFL. You know, nah, I'm not waiting for the NFL anymore. It's the players and the owners and the industry and the subsidized, socialized sports. Have I got to pay for their stadium so they can pay a bunch of money to whatever? And the guy, you know, next. This stuff always has its cycles, man. And people are, you know, I don't know, are we all big sports now? You know, they got empty stands in NASCAR and the Phoenix, the U.S. Open and everything. I'm going, no, it's not that big a deal. You know, next, give me something cool. I can watch on TV, like drone racing. You know, so this is, I don't know if it's going to come back. You know, baseball and everything has kind of been counting on TV revenue anyway. But I'm, yeah, there's entire industries that need to go away. Of course, they don't want them to go away. You know, they got, you know, B-2 bombers flying over on those. You know, but, you know, you have, no, a little mom and pa, you got a salon owner. Yeah, you're not allowed to go into business except to cater to royalty. Pelosi. See my point? Nope. Space launch system trying to finish 40-year journey to a space shuttle replacement. They're trying to use, it's called the SLS, Space Launch System. And it's heavy lift, want to go to the moon, all that kind of stuff. And they're trying to reuse some of the same contractors and everything that did the space shuttle program, which was in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, 2010s. You know, I'm going, this is your innovation as SpaceX. Hell, they change multiple times a year a single model. A, you know, 2017 Model S Tesla is, at the beginning of the year, has like, I don't know, 50 changes by the end of the year. You know, it's just, they're so stupid. This is a 12-year-old going, why don't you just do that? Oh, because of the department of, you know, the management of, you know, board meetings of something. You know, like, no. Well, that's what's happened to the space system. While they're jerking around, you know, spending billions and billions of dollars, Musk is like, well, I'm going to be waving at you from the moon. And you can either contract us to do it or be part of it, or doesn't matter, we're going anyway. And if you don't have NASA on it and you don't get a little something-something and say you did, then aren't you going to look super stupid? You already look stupid. You're going to get a little super stupid in there. So I can see what's going on, man. Private industry is just, I don't know, I don't want them dragging. I don't want a tether on them. Leave them alone. But they'll give them a bunch of money. They'll let you do that. And here we have on talk. I was watching a video. I haven't finished it. But mainly it's, you know, five ingenious things that just Tesla is doing. I ain't talking about SpaceX and so on. But Waymo in East Valley of Phoenix, Arizona, Chandler, Mesa, Tempe area around Arizona State University and so on, they have all these, I guess, Waymo cars, or Google cars or whatever they are, and they got these big, they look like a police car with a, you know, light rack on top, and their LIDAR. LIDAR is a laser radar, and they're going, and Elon's going, I don't know why you're doing that. The recognition of everything through just light cameras. I put cameras and everything, kick the crap out of that. Plus, I got all the data from everybody driving around everywhere, you know, and we have that all in for mapping out blah, 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 blah. We win autonomous cars first, and you guys waste a lot of money and whatever, and you should do that. So, you know, here it comes, and there's going to be robo-taxis, and it's going to be to where your car makes money while you're working. It's out there making you money. So they're putting a value, you pay $8,000 for the super-duper self-driving thing now, and they're putting a value at $100,000 on it, so you'll have the first vehicle that appreciates in value. When the hell has that happened? Of course, a robot, you know, and the brain's going to be reporting to central command of drive you to the police station. You know, I'm not a fan of that. But, I mean, the technology is there for hopefully, you know, some super geek can take care of it themselves. I will give it to Derek, and he'll fix it. Go fix that, Derek. Let's see. Mandalorian Season 2 kicks off on Disney Plus. Now, one thing is by having Verizon, you got a year of Disney and Hulu or something like that. We have an account, you know. And then, of course, they want to get you sucked in. You pay it, that ain't happening. So they suck. They're going to give me some free Mandalorian. I can get it up, download it, put it, I got it, watch it, off. You know, the mama. But, yeah, I'm not signing up to his. They're evil something. But, you know, got a whole bunch more news when we come back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
And we left off with Baby Yoda, that my grandkids, one of the first things they did was 3D print that with the 3D printer I gave him. Baby Yoda. All right, next. We got the autonomous car. Okay, here's one. Why we need the Yes Every Kid Fund. You know, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line is this. This is an initiative that we did in Arizona as part of the first Citizens Taking Initiative newspaper thing that we did. We had 36 initiatives, and it was a bunch of, I mean, name it. We were covering it. We were like, you know, if you want to legislate, you want to know what we would do, this is what we would do. And we filed them. Get our government number. They had to do a report. Everybody looked at them. Legislators introduced them as bills. A bunch of them got passed. This is where unrestricted concealed carry came from. A bunch of stuff. And, you know, fully informed jury, all kinds. I can go on and on. But one of them was education voucher. And this is what happened. When Fife Symington got elected in, I think it was 90. It was when he first did, yeah. He goes in 90, and then he, before him was Evan Meekum. He was like a Trump character. I mean, they made him out, oh, he's scum and this and that. And, of course, everything he said turned out to be true, but they got him impeached. I mean, it was a full court press of this everything that he did to Trump, they did to Evan Meekum in 1980s, late 80s. And he was impeached and then later found not guilty of what it was that he was impeached for. So so we've been through this before, you know. So then Fife Symington is running, and this is when I first started becoming active and doing all my commerce stuff and his campaign, you know, contacting me and we meetings and blah, blah, blah. I went behind the curtain on the left, you know, with Terry Gardner, that later became Attorney General, that was mayor of Phoenix, big Democrat. He was a Democrat guy. And it was well known he was gay, but he always had a girlfriend for the photo ops of everybody, and nobody cares, but they cared, and I don't care. You know, I mean, it was just, so it's same crap. I mean, it's just, but when you're behind the scenes, and the media used to be much more dominating back then, whatever was in the Republic, and you're an activist, and you know what's really, you know, well, then how do you, you know, react? And I didn't care about all the personal crap. We were looking at policy. So we decided we'll just do our own newspaper. Here we go. We'll write it. It's on paper. We'll get a government number. So by getting a government number, it gets coverage, and then people discuss and talk, and all of a sudden become popular. And one of those was education vouchers. The reason that happened is because Fife Symington is governor to make nice with the conservatives and the Mormons and the religious community and so on in the Republican side. I will create a education task force of blue ribbon panel of citizens board or something. So they did. They met for months and came up with this report. It was multi-page legislation negotiated way too long. So it was pages and pages of, you know, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to fix education, as if they thought it was broke. They took decades to get it to where they wanted it, and it's our mandatory youth indoctrination camp, and you're going to mess it up. They didn't want that at all. So all this stuff that you're seeing, this Marxist indoctrination of, you know, Black Lives Matter teacher, Soros-funded, we got our college degree to mind screw your kids, you know what's going on right freaking not later now. It's September, the school season is starting, you got your kids in, you're, that's child abuse, man. I mean, here we go. So what happens? They came to me. We had done the newspaper first. This is before we had done a lot of the 94 initiative. I think we did it in 92. And then we did, I can't remember, dates kind of run together. But we had already started being active and being, so they knew to come to me. So one of the guys that was on this board, we lived in a triplex, you know, with evaporative cooling and no air conditioner in the car and push-starting car. I mean, we were poor. And we lived in a triplex, a two-bedroom, one bath, little triplex with four kids and two dogs. And we rented one of the other units that was a one-bedroom unit to be our office. So we just had, like, right next door, we had an office in this thing, and we paid, like, nothing. I think it was, like, $600-something dollars for both of them. I mean, you know, we poke. But it was gave us the ability to do a lot of stuff. And that was our goal then. While our kids were little, they didn't know any different. They didn't care. You know, it was a warm place to sleep and food, and they're good, along with the roaches. But so we had this office, and they came and met me in there. They come by. I mean, they see I don't have a lot of resources. So I got a nice, you know, we were able to get stuff done, and we were focused all of our attention on activism. But he was on this board, and he was a landscaper. He owned a landscaping company. And he landscaped a lot of, you know, the hoity-toity rich and famous and legislators and that kind of stuff. That's how he kind of knew these guys, and they knew him to be, you know, serious. He was involved in the Republican Party and so on. They put him on this board. One of the other people on the board was the secretary of the Arizona Republican Party, but she was the wife of a hardcore libertarian postal carrier that refused to have him. He'd do exempt and withholding if you're not allowed, and it's all suck. He was a hardcore libertarian, and his wife was the secretary. And that's one thing. If you're a hard worker and you like keep the books and you're on time and you file all this stuff, they don't give a crap. Yeah, you get to be secretary because nobody else wants to. But that and some other people, a county supervisor, Tom Rawls, yeah, and Linda Rawls, his wife, you know, they were heavily involved in the Republican. They were all libertarian. Everybody knew they were libertarian. They were on the front page of, you know, periodical papers, you know, with Reason Magazine, you know, by them and this and that and everything. They were making it very clear we're libertarian. And they helped us with behind the scenes and stuff. So we didn't think we knew. We knew. So what happened, they came to me and they said, this report, and we tried to negotiate with, it became this mess that we had to work with the Arizona Education Association. So this is the union, teachers union, all that kind of stuff. Well, they came up with this gobbledygook, but they got pretty much what they wanted. They wanted to be able to have, you know, school choice for the kids and yada, yada, yada. Well, that's exactly what those did not want. So eventually it got negotiated away, and Simonton got something, the money for whatever the hell, whatever, and it's gone. So they felt betrayed, and they came to me, and they said, look, I go, what is it you guys want to do? We want to have choice. I go, then why don't you just say that? I mean, if you got to do more than a paragraph, then you're just babbling. So I go, I'll take it. I looked at it. Man, I don't even think I even read the thing. It was just so much crap. And we did a constitutional initiative that basically said this. You take however much the education budget is, you go from, you know, whatever you're educating from, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade, how many students, divide, give the money. Boom, done. The parents are the administration. Well, then they could, you know, send them to a private neo-Nazi Ku Klux Klan preschool. I go, yes, they can. And that's what you got to give up, the control over that kind of stuff, for you to have the freedom you want. I go, that's the price. As people, they want to be stupid, but they want to just, you know, have them watch cartoons and smoke dope, whatever. I mean, you got to get over it. There's laws for all other kind of stuff that you can deal with. But the education, the money has to be administered by the parents, who you're taking it from to begin with, and serve the child. That's it. Boom. Done. That initiative went viral, for lack of a better term, back then. It was amazing. That's what this is. We need the Yes Every Kid Fund. Same thing. Money you take for kids. Kids' parents get it. They spend it. Homeschool. Boom. We're done. Feel me? Good ideas come around. They always do.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And we're back. Got more news to check in the Telegram. Bunch of good stuff in there. Going to go up on the site. You guys rock, man. I don't need the ouch, quit it crap, but I'm telling you, you guys add some good stuff in there and some things that I did not know, and add some commentary on and events that you're going to. And people are, you know, like on the Love Bus Liberty Tour, John Sneason, he's going to be on the show Friday. He's going to IMF FSB sponsored Too Big to Fail virtual workshop on Friday, you know, this week. We'll see what the elites will be talking about there. Now, this is, that's what he's going to be talking about. This, in Canada, they got the resume of these people they appoint to these positions of, we just going to print money, is amazing. I mean, you can see what's coming. There is, they're not for us. I guarantee that. You know, this is not, yeah, no, I'm, no. I can see where this is going. So, anyway, we'll keep track of it for you. But, in the meantime, there's the news. Now, I just finished up the last segment with this, why we need Yes Every Kid Fund. Who's going to be against this? I don't know, they, them, those. The first thing is that they take your money in the name of education to begin with. That's where a lot of your property taxes come from. It's always in the name of the children. They're going to tell you what you can and can't do with your property. Oh, and by the way, you got to pay us all the time to have it. You know, this is weird. In 94, there was an initiative that was done by a Republican, a guy named, I think his name was Al Banks. And he owned a fiberglass company. So I remember he made this big, you know, it was probably like, you know, 10 feet long and 6 feet wide of this big axe that went in through the roof of his pickup truck, or looked like it did. And it was called Axe to Tax, you know. And he went around, and he was one of the first guys I ever knew to do this helium balloon thing. He put it in an aluminum lawn chair, and he said it was scary. He spent, God, it was $2,000-$3,000 on helium. I mean, it was a lot of helium you had to pay to fill up all these balloons. And he had a BB gun with him. When he wanted to get in too high or wanted to come down, he'd start shooting balloons. Anyway, so that got him a lot of attention. And Republican Party, hell no. They wouldn't give him data bait. No, I would, because this is taxpayer. I was county chairman of the Libertarian Party in Maricopa County, which is a big area, you know, includes the Valley of the Sun, you know, Phoenix and stuff. And you get access to all the voter rolls of everybody. As the county chair, you get them in paper, pallets of paper, or you can get it on magnetic tape back then. Now it's probably just on CD or whatever. But the you had all of this information, and they would charge 7 cents a name, the parties would, to have access to it. Now, this taxpayer funded it. They get it for free, and then they would charge people for it. Now, if you went to the government, they charged 10 cents. Well, who do you think set the 10 cents? The politicians. Why? So their party can charge 7 cents and get paid. Now, almost every county and state chairman I know in the Libertarian Party charge for it. They charge a nickel where we make money. They, you know, they made money or whatever. I never would. And I had the biggest guy. I had, you know, probably, I don't know, 70, 80% of the population of Arizona. And I just give it away. But they had to sign a piece of paper saying it was for political purposes and not commercial and all this other crap, because that was kind of the law anyway. And but the newspaper, Arizona Republic, tried to get it, you know, for me to give it to them, but they would use it for commercial. And I'm going, no, you sign this and I'll do it. No, we're not going to sign. A lawyer said, no, you're just trying to set me up in violation of the law. Screw you. I go, I know what you're doing. You know, the assholes, man. Oh, did I say that out loud? So we would give this to anyone that wanted it. People that were against some stupid initiative or law or running for office as a Republican, Democrat, third, I didn't care. You know, and one of them was Axe to Tax. And I go, here, yeah, that, you know, go get them. So that always became, I'm going, bring it on. You know, bring it on, man. Let's have this discussion. So it was just another welfare fund for the parties, and that's how they did it. But anyway, so the kid thing. You go to each kid. You got a budget. You divide it out. See, it comes down to about, I remember when I did the math, I can't remember, something like $15,000 a kid. But only like, I don't know, a few thousand made it to the, you know, by the time you get through administration and teachers and buildings and slush fund of the so-and-so, the interest on the bond of the yada, 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 it's almost nothing made it down to the kid. And you kept having more. You know, we can make more money if we go from 20 to 30, 30 to 40 kids in a room and have a parent come in and help, you know, herd the, you know, the little rugrats. And we do it, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's all freaking just how much it can milk the system while they were training this statist, collectivist, communist, Marxist, whatever the hell, generations of, they got a teacher certificate and they're going to explain it to your kid, and oh, you're paying for it, and oh, they went on an overnighter of we keep them evacuation, quarantine of one kid coughed and they have, and they're not your kids anymore. You think I'm kidding? You know, it's so obvious. You could see they're getting to this. What's the backlash? None of your crap. How about I just keep my money? And a lot of times, you know, that was when I first started getting involved in politics. It was senior citizens complaining how they got a, you know, all of a sudden they grew up and they're paying to raise everybody else's kid. They go, whoa, I paid for mine. What the hell? You know, so, you know, stuff comes around, man. It's just so neon freaking obvious of what's going to happen. All right. Did Trump's federalism just win him the election? Blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is this. Federalism is to where you have autonomous states. You know, the United used to be, you know, you had the United States, capitalized S, lowercase u, the United States of America, where Georgia is like its own country as compared to, you know, Utah. I mean, they're totally different and not this overlap. And how do they start getting them under this, you know, new world national America order of whatever the hell it is? Well, y'all got to have the same seatbelt laws. You got to have the same driving age. You got to have the same drinking age. You got to have, I mean, they start doing this federal thing, and how they would get it is that, well, we're going to take your money and then we're going to give some back if you do what we tell you, you know? See, it starts with them taking your money and then kind of bribing you back with your money. I'm like, what the hell? And once they start, where do you think it'll stop? Until it's all theirs and you're lucky you get to have some under conditions. So, I mean, that's what's going on. So what Trump did is he maintained this federal thing. He goes, look, you know, the original concept of federalism as described in the Federalist Papers and all that stuff, and anti-Federalist Papers, which warned the libertarians going, they can say all these flowery words all they want. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have the three branches of the legislative, executive, and judicial all aligned against the rights of the individual, and you're going to find yourself in a free speech zone ruled constitutional by the Supreme Court. That's what's going to happen, and that's what happened, okay? But the concept, the argument was this, just like with the Declaration of Independence. What's the promise? What's the promise that they make all the time? Well, the promise was is that the federal government would defend the borders, you know, so you guys be left alone, do what you want, peace out. Well, they have all these riots and everything in these cities. They wanted Trump to come in. They expected him to. They did the psychological profile of he's going to be the kind of guy who's going, ooh, kick ass and come in with the, you know, the military and strafing A-10, you know, strafing runs on Antifa, the blah, 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 which he didn't do. He goes, hey, man, you got to invite me. I'm a vampire. Yeah, invite me in your house. And then you're mine. So he, by, you know, not doing that, he's going, no, not unless you invite me. Yeah. Now, of course, the mayors and the governors, they have their own resources. You know, they don't want to take the hit. They want Trump to. They're begging him to. And then he didn't take the bait. You know, why? I don't know, because he's smarter than they think. Chris Cuomo, investigated for sexual harassment as Tucker Carlson goes nuclear on CNN. So, of course, it's just, you know, blah, 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 do I care? In this video, we're going to look at the secret audio tapes of Chris Cuomo aired by Tucker Carlson, how they reveal an utterly astonishing hypocrisy on the part of CNN, and Carlson's bomb drop is but the latest escalation in the civil war erupting within the mainstream media. You're not going to want to miss this. Well, maybe I am, so we'll go to the next one. But it's just same. It's all hypocrisy. You know, it's Pelosi getting her hair done when you can't, and, you know, all this Me Too stuff. All the guys screaming the loudest are the ones diddling the intern of whatever the most, you know, whatever. And then there's a bunch of stuff. You know, we'll go over about the Rogan thing. There's some science stuff. Oh, true holographic movies are within grasp. Yep. You know, I've seen some 3D television, you know, the French had from back in the day, decades ago, the development of that. I was pretty impressed at the Super Electronics Show, but where's that? I don't know. We're going straight to a holographic.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And tomorrow we're going to have John Sneezing on the radio from Winnipeg, Canada. Tomorrow he's going to be going to a IMF thing. You know, now International Monetary Fund of how the elite and too big to fail are going to spend your money and more of, or just spend print money and you're going to owe it that they just printed. How weird is that? I mean, once you understand what they're doing, it's like there's just going to be a revolution to bite me. I mean, it's, nah, I'm good. You know, our community is, you're not allowed. Oh, and then here come the A-10s. He was talking to a teacher, a friend of his, in the British Columbia, in the Canadian school system up there, and I'll just read to you what she says, or he, I guess, I don't know. A British Columbia teacher I spoke to at length last night clarified the following about British Columbia schools. This is our children's new normal, by the way. You know, by the way, thanks to all those who have done nothing but acquiesce and help spread the fear and lies of the fake pandemic, sarcastically, of course. Kids are in pods of 30, school-dependent, all right? There are 30 kids in the pods, cannot interact with other kids from other pods at any time, must wear masks in corridors, two subject lessons a day, 2.5 hours each, with a monitored lunch time in the class or outside in a designated space only for that pod. So it's classrooms or pods. They're isolated from everybody else. If any student, teacher, janitor, or close family member of anyone in a pod tests positive at any time, everyone in that pod will be required to take a COVID test to return to school. Otherwise, they have to stay home for 14 days. And this will include all family members of everyone from the pod. Family members may also be quarantined from work, etc. The contact tracers will work to ensure this is followed, and this is now the law. The teacher leading the pod is required to stay with the students all day, close by. When the students go for lunch out or outside, the teacher goes with them. Kids will never be left alone. They are now being used as police to keep this medical tyranny in place. The teachers are. Apparently, the online learning option, the transitional learning, that is being offered to parents in British Columbia isn't going on beyond October either. They're going to say, no, the online's done after October. This teacher wasn't sure if it was only their school policy or all schools, but it was definitely not continuing in their school. As teachers raised the issue that parents weren't being told the truth by them, having just been offered transitional learning as an option, it will be revealed in a further letter where parents will have to choose a school-only option or homeschool-only option at that time in October. So they're going to not have the online thing. It's either homeschool or school-school. And I vote homeschool. And then, of course, the contact tracing thing. Basically, the teachers have zero capacity to teach children and also support online learning. So it's not going forward. I asked about errant students that say, you know, high-five other students in the corridor or mock coughing, et cetera, as kids might do. Well, they will be sent home immediately, as schools will have a zero-tolerance policy, and parents must arrange to immediately collect the child, this is so parents have consequences, too. The teacher knows, feels it's all wrong, and others at the school have discussed the same, too, but none feel they can oppose it, and this is all conditional on them returning to work. They all know and admit that when the kids leave the school grounds at 3, they will all intermingle and hang out with other kids from other pods, families, etc. And that really is just a big make-work project of case identifications, tracing, tracking, and forcing people to stay on lockdown. If they refuse to test for themselves or their children, they can't return to work, school. Later, it will be the vaccine also, not just the test. This is all building up the vaccines mandated. And, of course, teachers are also impacted as they can no longer really socialize with each other either, as they have no common community space now and cannot leave the children alone during the day. See, you can't have the pods, you know, kids from one class to another class talking. So, of course, you can't have the teachers, you know, intermingling either. And it's interesting they call them pods, pod people. And it's like they put it right in your face, man. You know, this is, you know, will this last? Will this sustain? It's a test. On us being compliant stupid. Let's see. Joe Rogan podcast moves to Spotify, but his most controversial episodes will not. So what happened is he goes over to Spotify so he doesn't have to worry about getting censored, and all the controversial, you know, Alex Jones and, a bunch of these guys, you know, David Icke and, you know, Jordan Peterson and Jordan Peterson's daughter, and all that stuff didn't go. Now, Rogan says he talked, you'll be back soon. We'll get you out. Don't worry about it. It'll come later. Come some. Don't worry about it. And I'm going, yeah? Really? Yeah, Milo Yiannopoulos, you know, or his name was. So all these ones that were, you know, made Joe Rogan, those aren't the ones going over. Spotify says, yeah, come on over here, but we're not posting those. Really? So what's good about that? Now, yesterday we had Bob Anderson and Dr. Judy Mikovits on. And Dr. Judy, whenever we have her on, you know, we have in the archive there, the IPFS listing of pandemic movies. And then people found it there, and boom, the download on that site just went crazy. See, I don't even get the tracking on the IPFS downloads, just the site, the page that has the IPFS hash. You know, Lord knows how many times the hash gets forwarded, you know. So it's just, all right, that's got legs. And one thing she told, I think maybe it might have been after the show, at the end of the show, PTFE nano mask, a new trend of future masks. Well, the PTFE nano mask is a electrostatic absorption that has this yada, 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 and the fibers of it's supposed to be this great mask that the governor of California endorsed or bought a bunch or something. And there's like a gazillion of these in the pipeline. Well, it's in violation of California law because it's sprayed with some kind of Teflon coating thing or something that causes cancer. You know, this, you know, California said, and, you know, Teflon of cancer, of warning it's illegal and you're not allowed. And then the governor not only, you know, has a bunch of these to be worn as masks, he mandates their use. So what the hell does that mean? I don't know, but it is interesting. So we put that up. Then defining an XPRIZE for aging reversal and anti-aging developments. This is the same kind of, you know, XPRIZE they did for private astronauts into space. You know, and they did it also for a, you know, medical recorder, a tricorder of Dr. Bones, Dr. McCoy has and does a bleep thing because they don't want to send up a big giant diagnostic cost a whole gazillion dollars just to put it into space diagnostic and need it plug into your cell phone kind of thing. So they did that. And they do all kinds of different stuff. Now they're doing it for anti-aging or aging reversal. Wow, we got that to look forward to. Okay. Moderators announced for the presidential debates. And here's the first rule. First rule, don't debate Trump. They're violating the first rule. There's got to be something happening. I can't imagine that's going to happen. That's just not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. I see that. That's a pay-per-view right there, man. I'd pay for that one. I want to see that. That'd be interesting. All right, American colleges, universities trick students into paying tuition and returning to campus. Millions of undergrads were told that everything would return mostly back to normal this fall if they just agreed to pay their tuition and sign their housing leases in good faith. But the reality is that once colleges and universities got their money and contracts in hand, they immediately pulled a bait and switch and are now holding students hostage inside their dorms while not allowing for any social interaction or outside activity, supposedly due to the Wuhan corona, blah, 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 blah. Now, it's just... They're all in on this. They think whatever they're going to do and accomplish, they got to do it now. Because all the people that are pissed off, all the parents, all the students, all the kids, all the businesses, all the something, they're counting on there not being blowback. Or there is and they're going to shoot them or something. It's now, man, whatever it is. I have no idea. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the future coming. Here's a good one. Flying V, long-distance plane, makes its first flight as a scale model. It's like a V. You know, I mean, it's shaped, you know, very, you know, sharp angle, but it's a lifting body. And they're making jets this way. It's going to be, you know, very efficient, long range, have some speed to it. And, I mean, the future's going to be cool. Make it an airship, and then you're really talking. Apple and Google have launched coronavirus exposure notifications without an app. They're just doing it. No app. You don't download it. You get permission. I totally agree. Apple and Google have announced they're expanding their coronavirus exposure warning system so health agencies can take part without needing to create a customized app. It's a significant upgrade. Significant, significant upgrade to the system, which uses Bluetooth to work out if people have spent extended periods of time near each other, and then notifies the close contact of someone else who has positive. Nab, 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 nab. Contact tracing, they're showing up at your door. And in Tennessee, the governor did what? No warrant. They just could come say hello. Hello. Where's the children? Oh, and we're pulling them out because they got exposed to whatever. This is a test. Do you let a shiny badge take your children? And then what's the charge when you resist?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines, And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, and a feared, here on Declare Your Independence, me here in west of Flint, Michigan. We're here in the forest of, and man, RVers here, we the Poe people. I mean, damn, they got these rigs. They have to be $300,000 rigs everywhere. It is amazing. It's a nice place here, too. And we got to leave here as soon as we get done doing troop report with Dr. Frank Tamburi that's awaiting. I got to get a digital projector. We've got some ideas from some different new stencil designs and stuff and methods and stuff we're going to be doing videotaping of at Rick's place. And his family's all ready for us to go and set a mass production of. And we're going to be doing a bunch tonight and tomorrow and then distribution Friday night late and get them up for the weekend, and we'll see how fast they get them down on Monday. And then we'll have a bunch extra produced over the weekend for us to take on our trip, make sure we, you know, blanket all the small communities on our way back east. You know, this has been, we had to hurry up and get out here. We're going to take our time going and make sure we spread the love. Because this is, it's getting weird. And the biggest, weirdest thing, I got to ask Dr. Frank. Dr. Frank, I thought the first rule of debates was don't debate Trump.
Yeah, well, no, the first rule is trust in Trump. But, no, they, well, we will see. I mean, I won't count it, you know, until it happens. I'm not sure if I still will believe it, especially with the breakdown that's going on now. And that's sort of the theme I want to bring up. And if my mom's listening, I would go listen to something else, but on Frank Sinatra tunes right now, because you're not going to want to hear the show. So, yeah, I think the theme for today, and by the way, for this audience, if you guys will listen for a while, you know what I'm kind of getting at, which is, you know, we've been following this for a long time. As libertarians, we understand the bigger picture for a long sort of reckoning that many of us have been sitting or tapping our foot for a long time, both economically and politically. And the exposure, hopefully, of the corruption of all sides. But what I'm trying to get to is that I think we've turned a corner, in my opinion, especially that how my cell phone just blew up this morning of all days from a lot of my normies, you know, my normie friends and family, people that don't, you know, let's say don't go on Freedom's Phoenix all the time. I think, in essence, over the last week and now, that the RNC, the Republicans, have finally awoken the woke, you know, in so many words, kind of like the sleeper has awoken from Dune, which, by the way, the new version of Dune comes out soon, but that's another story.
A movie or a series?
The movie. The guy that did the new Blade Runner movie and an excellent director, Dean, his name's Vinny. Anyway, I don't get into it right now, but he's like the new Ridley Scott, and he took on making Dune for its part.
Well, they better hurry up and open theaters.
It's assuming we have theaters. Yeah, that's another story. But anyway, look, guys. What's going on is I think the average American is finally now starting to get a sense of how bad of a situation we have. I know it seems a little obtuse thinking, well, what do you mean? They've been watching the news and, you know, riots and things. But I think, you know, I think enough people are starting to see this, including even there's a lot to unpack with the show, but even some of my some of the channels of leftists who are very intelligent leftists. I know it sounds like an oxymoron to some of you, but some intelligent people that I actually do respect, and even they're warning their people, saying, if we want an insurrection and if you want a revolution, we don't go down this path. It's not romanticized as if that you think you have in your head. I mean, it's like I'm seeing the more mature people on the left saying, look, we can keep pushing our agenda, but the faction that's pushing for this war, we will lose. We will lose on our side, and America will lose. I was shocked to be hearing people on their side starting to put the brakes on. They're seeing that this is a train that's got lost control. And people on the moderates and many just, you know, regular Americans are waking up and starting to realize from, you know, sites and commentators who they trust, people who are not hyperbolic. We're not talking Alex Jones here, you know, and yes, I like Alex, but you know, we're talking like calm commentators who are now coming out and saying, we're really looking at a civil war right now, looking at the setup of the media and what the media is softening everybody up. They've been doing this for a while. I mean, on this show, we know the tricks of the media. But more people are starting to recognize that they're already planting the seeds for not accepting this election. Now, it's not, you know, for this audience, surprised, right? But for a lot of people, they're seeing now overtly. They're not even hiding it. They're just in that press releases. So Americans are starting to really see how deep this goes. So it's certainly, I think, a real concern for many. But anyway, I think what started this, guys, I think what really happened is what I get so frustrated with Americans is that they all think they're so open-minded and they listen to other sides and they don't. I said over and over, conservatives at least make more of an effort. They get 35% of their news and culture from the other side. Now, granted, that's starting to diminish. I'll use my father as an actual example. Hi, Pop. You know,
join Telegram.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyway, so my father, you know, he's someone that would listen to both sides. He's so angry. He just sits back and says, screw it. He's turned off and gone back into his own bubble of just nothing but conservative talk. And I'm sure many of you have done the same thing. You probably can't stomach listening to people on the left. But can you hear me? Because I'm hearing you.
Yeah, no, I was telling Donna to, you know, add something while you're talking. I don't know which mic works. I think you hear it through the other microphone. The audience doesn't. Go ahead. All right.
So what I'm getting to is many conservatives, or many of us as Americans, or just can't even watch the news, period, without getting sick. I mean, God knows, even I put on Star Trek now, old Star Trek, to just get my mind, you know, erased sometimes, just from sanity a little bit. But I think a lot of Americans are tuning out altogether. And even people who did make an effort to listen to the other side are not even doing it. And that doesn't include the left that never listens to the other side. Or let's just, well, I won't say never. Statistically, it's less than 5% that they get news and call from the other side. And I'm sure that's almost down to zero.
You know, I want to make that point so people understand. There was a list that they did on Amazon of all of the books that had been ordered by certain people. And if you ordered this one book, then you could be expected to have ordered or read all these other books. And it was kind of the left. If you did it on the right, if you had this one book, well, then you had your books, and they didn't overlap. There was no overlap between these perspectives that kept being fed in their own echo chambers, except one book that both sides have been reading. You may know what it was?
No.
Freakonomics. They go into that. It was just, you know, let me tell you what's the economic, what really happens when you do, and kind of. And one of the things that stuck out is Roe v. Wade, when they started having on-demand abortion, they started seeing, you know, 16, 17 years later, a dramatic drop in crime. And the reason was they were saying, you know, these single mother families kind of, you know, whatever, didn't have. So they go, well, you know, while they went, and that was the point that they were making on all these different policies and things. They'll sit there and say why something's there, and they go, that's not why. It's little decisions made decades before that have generational impact later. That was the point. And whether you agree with it or not, that's not the point.
Yeah.
The thing was is that Freakonomics was the one book that both sides, I'm wondering what that one book or one candidate or one philosophy or one thing would be. Now, there was like the revolution, but is there something else like that? We'll find out when we come back from the break with Dr. Frank Tanbury. Trump report. Rule one, don't debate Trump.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Frank Tanbury, Trump Report, and I got to change that. And, you know, don't call that number, as if we ever answered anyway. But, you know, the only reason we use that was to do phone interviews, and now, and with the system, we can run through our phones. You know, I got a new phone, Frank, and this thing does not have a mini mic deal. It's all you know, USB-C through. I go, there's a wire for that to go into my mini, but damn, I got to get more wires now. You know, whatever. Oh, I got a Mavic Air 2 drone thing. Man, that thing is pimp. It worked very cool. But I don't want to take time from Frank because he was getting to make a point. And a point, and he never makes a point in, you know, one segment. That's why the after show is so important because, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes later, I start there and go, I'm just getting ready to make my point. Oh, my God. Well, his point is he's going to make a point. What's your point there, Frank?
Well, the point has been is that why I think this is all coming out now, and for the average people to be hearing this, is a reaction of the left for all this time that they never listened to the other side, and it's from the RNC. The RNC was such a game changer for the Democrats. I joked and laughed a little bit with a little schadenfreude, as I like to say, that the left was forced with toothpicks in their eyelids to watch what the Republicans have been talking about. I've said from day one, if you want to beat Trump, you have to understand why people voted for him. And for 4 years, 5 years, they never bothered to figure it out.
No, because they're deplorables.
So exactly. They have their own stereotype, and they don't actually believe this. And they're in their echo chamber, and they've been doubling, tripling down, racism, hatred, all of this. But the thing is, they never have been listening. And what is incredible, because I actually watched MSNBC and these shows after the RNC each night. And I listened to both the DNC and the RNC 4 nights each. Every hour I watched the entire thing because I always do that. And I listened to the other side. They were, and I said this last week, they were like gobsmacked. They were like questioning. They were scratching their head going, like, what is this Republicans are talking about? From our point of view, you know, we're just hearing, I mean, called confirmation bias. But we were hearing what we have been talking about, you know, on this show, people who watch Fox, people, whatever shows that you guys probably all listen to. We have been following this for a long time. Let's say the riots. We've been following the riots, for instance, every night, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, when Trump has his RNC and he's talking about some of this unrest and about how the Democrat cities are not doing X, Y, Z, the Democrats came back and scratching their heads saying, well, why, my God, Trump just changed on a dime. Trump's now, we didn't realize that Trump and the Republicans are trying to win by switching, because they know they're going to lose, to violence. They're trying to scare Americans that all this is going on. And then the poll numbers are going through the roof by the ratings. 6 times the number of people watch the RNC over the DNC, plus all from the poll numbers for Trump in key battleground states. All of this is happening at once. And the Democrats are going, whoa, 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 whoa. This message is really working. Now, of course, we talked last week. Most of you saw the video of Don Lemonhead sitting there going, well, it looks like this one, this violence in the streets is this issue is actually it's polling well. We need to stop that one.
And yeah, so what poll? What were they not seeing before? Why did they, you know, they got permission to talk about it or something? Somebody gave them a slip of paper that now it's okay to bring it. I don't see
Bernie, what they were looking at before. Bernie, I'm very serious. This is a very good question. This is what I have been trying to wrap my head around. And sometimes when I bring this question up, people think I'm just being, you know, just ignorant. I don't understand liberals with it. I always often ask, do these people, are they really scheming with their mustaches twirling? And yes, some of them are. The Chuck Schumers, I get as much sociopaths, we all know that. But for the average liberal out there, even those in the media, like Don Lemonhead, for instance, the question is, do they really know how much they're lying? Or do they really just believe this? Of course, they know they're playing politics, and they're not that stupid, except for Don. But I mean, a lot of them, I've been believing over time, listening to them and watching their actions, they really believe this stuff. They honestly believe it. And that is why this hatefulness and this doubling down, not listening to the other side, has backfired in a sense that now the RNC forced them for equal access on the airwaves. Remember, they had to show the RNC because they were, you know, if you're with the FCC rules, if you showed the DNC for 4 nights, you have to show the RNC. The only reason they watched it is because they had to. And they're sitting back going, wow, where did this come from? And we're all sitting there banging our heads going, where the hell have you been? Did you just get a memo? And in essence, it shows you, Ernie, and for myself even, just it confirms how much they have secluded themselves to not listen to the other side. And now they're thinking this is a scheme by Trump talking about violence when we've been discussing this whole time. And by the way, just one echo to show you how, I mean, this has been going on for decades, but right, especially now, the real proof, when it really showed itself, Ernie, and for the audience, is Charlottesville. You know, one of my friends is black, and he and I were still friends, but man, it's been really stressful with all these things going on. He moved from Arizona to North Carolina into the cesspool of a lot of this tension, right before Trump got in. And I didn't realize that he was, you know, despises the president, and of course, I guess not surprised where he's at. But I kept asking him, what is it that he's done that you hate this man so
orange,
much?
Orange bad.
That's true. But he kept bringing up Charlottesville. And I didn't realize how Charlottesville has been one of those two things that they've been conditioned, that that's the reason to completely discharge and dismiss this president and hate on him. And what I realized with Charlottesville is that they never understood what those protests were about. It was not Proud Boys organizing this thing. It was basically regular conservatives that were coming out about the toppling of the statues. Remember, even back then. And the reason that the Proud Boys, some of them even showed up, but the reason the march was going on was because, and the reason Donald Trump said there were good and bad people on both sides, and paraphrasing, I think he said there's good people on both sides, but he was actually saying there's good and bad on each side, right? And they took issue thinking that he's not allowed to say anything good about conservatives because in their mind, they didn't understand why they were there. And the reason, as I told my friend, is because you're not watching the other side. If you watch conservative media for 6 months to a year prior, we were watching every night, certain nights, and maybe not you, Ernie, because you weren't watching Fox, but at least on Fox and Alex Jones and these shows, they were showing the riots. They were showing Black Lives Matter going out, causing bedlam, you know, threatening police, knocking down statues, keeping Ben Shapiro, a little Jewish guy with a yarmulke, and couldn't go and give a talk on a college, and people were firebombing colleges and destroying them, and shutting down speakers like Laura Ingraham, what's her name? There's a couple of the conservative speakers, and then with Dr. Peterson. You know, Jordan Peterson. I mean, all of this attack on conservatives with violence, and yet the left never showed it, which is no surprise, but they truly are in that bubble. They had no idea this was happening. So when the conservatives showed up in Charlottesville, they just thought it was a bunch of racists that just showed up out of the blue, and God forbid, and the problem happened. So this ignorance being in their bubble going on for so long, even before it led to Charlottesville, who became their rallying cry. Remember Charlottesville, all the racists showed up because they don't understand. And that's the Charlottesville.
We're going to understand more after the break with Dr. Frank Tamberi on the Trump Report. He got to the point in that segment, I think.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Well, Dr. Frank Tamberi on Trump Report. Okay, I got to say, did you understand my mindset on this stuff and doing what I think is going to happen? All comes down to this one fly I got here. Let me explain it to you. One, you know, Arizona has flies, you know, especially we lived in the horse area up there, you know, there's flies and whatever, and you kind of got to deal with that. But, you know, every now and then, you know, back in the studio, I was usually pretty good and didn't have to worry about them. But here, there's bugs, you know, little gnats, little bugs this, bug that, bug, you're back in the bug area. If I got a forest in the summer, it's bugs. So you keep, you know, the fans on, the windows closed, and the screens going, you're not too bad, but sometimes you get a fly. And this is what I see is going on with this election cycle. You have the people that just want to sit and be left alone, eat their dinner, play with their kids, you know, entertain themselves, go to work, you know, mow the lawn, come back, you know, and that was the promise, that you got this government that's going to protect their rights and they don't have to worry about it and they're not going to get invaded and they got the borders out there and enemies foreign and domestic and all that stuff. And I can just live my life and peace out, and it's up to me, and have equal opportunity. I don't have equal outcome, but I got equal opportunity, and I can be generous and kind of live my leave-me-aloneism. Well, what happens is sometimes there's that one freaking fly that just will not leave you alone. And sometimes they'll ping you a little bit. Okay, you just swat it away. Yeah, you swat it away. It may be a regular swat, but sometimes they're so freaking annoying, they will not allow you to enjoy your life. It's not an inconvenience. It is a plague. It's a pestering. It's frogs. It's locust. It's something. And we got a locust swarm of flies of this political just will not freaking leave me alone that now I'm going, all right, that's it. That fly's got to die. And man, the next break, I am going to go get a towel, something. I'm going to hunt that sumbitch down. And he's dead, with no remorse. I'm going to jump up and down. The only remorse I'm going to feel is that I waited so long to get that freaking fly. Okay? That's what I feel is happening to America now. At some point where Frank is going, you know, they go, I don't know, but all of a sudden everybody's coming. Because what has always happened throughout our activism of 30 years, it was everything that we did for a year and a half was to build up for the next election cycle, and we start getting ready about 6 months before, at the earliest, it would be Labor Day. You know, it's like Labor Day of the year before. It's like, you know, for a presidential election, it would be last September, okay? So it would be right then you start getting built up where here it comes. You know, that's a year. But then you got like the 6 months thing, but it's all build up for the final 3 months, the last 90 days. That's when the messaging, that's when the branding, that's when people go, okay, freaking, I got to pay attention. And, you know, the primary is coming up and done. I got to actually vote, and I got my mail-in, whatever the hell, and I voted for my part. Now let's go see what's up. When they go and they get bombarded with all the BS and everything, and the American people are not as stupid as they want you to believe. They want you to believe that all the people think a certain way and that you're an idiot for not thinking that way. Kind of, it's a psyop. But now it's they are dead. There's that fly again. That sumbitch's got to die, okay? So this is what I think the American people are feeling now. They're going, you know what? The fly's got to go. Is the fly...
I agree. Now,
is the fly Trump, or is it something else? Is it the media? I mean, who's the fly that's not leaving me alone?
All right. Well, okay, a couple of things. First, I mean, great point with the fly. By the way, that was a great Breaking Bad episode, Fly. But anyway, that was a great one. Anyway, the thing is, they're completely right. I will disagree. Just, I want to reiterate, though, it's not that I'm clueless about it, Ernie. You make it sound like where's this coming from? No, I like I said, we've known this, we've been watching this unfold for a long time, including on this show since Trump got in. You know, and also as far as the messaging the last 2-3 months, typically with a campaign, I see this a little bit almost like the opposite. I mean, we have been in complete campaign mode since 2015. It hasn't ended, to the point where I think more people are disengaging or trying to disengage by just not even watching anything into the election. They can handle it. So in a strange way, it's opposite. The message has been there for 4 years. Trump is evil, Trump is bad, he's racist, and blah, blah, blah. And they can't explain it. So, yeah, that's been there. As far as the fly, my comment on this is going to be completely – so I admit that I'm in my own world. But I want to explain after the break, there's a thing about censorship and about how the media – I'm sorry, big tech is controlling – which I know is no surprise to this audience, but there was a fantastic documentary from yesterday, and I want to put a website called Humane Tech. We'll get back to this after the election, after the break. But before I get into that, you know, the reason I'm bringing it up is I think the left is the one that has lost the reservation. They're the ones that have changed. They're the ones that have been called brainwashed or manipulated or what have you. They have positions now that are completely different than what most Americans, even Democrats, held just a few years ago. So they're the ones that have changed. They might be right. Maybe every one of their views is correct. Let's just give it to them. Every one of their views are correct. But the point is they're the ones changing. And it's kind of like if you're married to somebody and you both decide that you let's say you both like meat. You both like to eat McDonald's all the time. And, you know, and you had your wedding at McDonald's. And then all of a sudden, later on, your wife decides to become a vegan, and she goes, oh, my God, I got to be a vegan. Or she changes her religion and becomes like whatever, you know, and then she yells at you because you're the one not eating vegan, or you're not the one that changes the faith. Now, you know, I'm not saying that she's right or wrong. It's just you can't get mad at the person that you signed up the deal with you change it on them and then get mad at them. That is what is happening with the left. And I think a lot of Democrats who are leaving the party are understanding this. So that is why I would say that the fly would be them, because they're the ones that keep promoting these new changes and then calling us the racists for not going along with it. Now, as far as with fly, I completely agree. And gosh knows, I'm seeing comments on a lot of these really scared, a lot of scared people out there, Ernie, if you're not even watching a lot of these messaging, a lot of comment sections on a lot of these videos of non-hyperbolic, typically, channels, they're really getting scared. And what I'm sensing overall, I think you do too, is that most Americans, the silent giant, so what the Japanese figured out after they bombed us, is that the silent giant is just sitting there, and we're just minding our business, holding back. It's like we're the in the room trying not to exercise the Second Amendment, the people who tend to like the Second Amendment, and we're holding back, you know, and waiting for the election. And I know, don't give me the whole election crap right now, but they're waiting for this to happen, whether legally or culturally. And when this election goes, this is going to be a mandate / landslide, whatever you want to call it. And when it is, America is going to say, we're done. We chose. This is the direction. You don't like it, you can finally go off to Canada if you want, and whatever. But at that point, if they continue, I think that's the sense. I'm not calling for it. I'm just saying that's the sense. It's built up pressure of the people who've been taking it, and call me names, and the statues going down, and not supporting the election, and trying to discredit it, and everything that they're going to do. I think that is when the hammer is going to fall. And if Trump does get a mandate, and this is also scary on the other side, because, you know, the pendulum can swing too far the other side, and that is a serious concern I brought up last week on your show. But I'll tell you that is when, if he wins the mandate, then, you know, he knows that he's got the whole country behind his back, or most of it, including Democrats and moderates and the Congress and everything. And then we're going to see some real interesting stuff happen. And that doesn't even include, you know, the email scandals and everything else that probably start coming out. That'll come out after the dust settles, when we're able to stop this insurrection and basically make a determination of what this country is going to be. So anyway, thanks for letting me get all that out.
But, you know, one thing I want to real quick is that, you know, this fly lands on my head and I'm going, okay, do I smack it? You know, am I risk taking, you know, a hit myself to get rid of the freaking fly? Do I gotta take a bruise? Do I get the wrist chip and a bone? I'm telling you, at some point, it's like, you know, give me that 45, it's on my temple, boom! Dead freaking fly! And you commit suicide. You know,
Trump 45.
Yeah, Trump 45. You know, you have a lever-action commemorative rifle.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And the Baby Love Bus, we're in Michigan, doing the tour of the Liberty, LoveBusLibertyTour.com. And we got a bunch of pictures and signed stuff that we're doing and such. And trying to do as many shows as we can. And we got the audio. We're not doing a live video stream and everything because we don't have the Love Bus studio. But we can do this. And, of course, the Trump Report with Dr. Frank. Now, when we went, there's the centennial for Arizona was a celebration of, February 14th, Valentine's Day, 1912. So 2012, they had the centennial, and we got them to do gold and silver and copper medallions, that whatever, we wrote the legislation for that. But what happened was, they gave out a commemorative lever action 3030 engraved, put in a case of whatever the hell, that Dr. Frank has in his examination room. I mean, you're there, you know, getting your proctology exam, woo, looking at a gun, okay? Well, at least he's kind of manly enough, he's got a lever action. So you have, that alleviates some worry right there. So he's got this nice engraved, you know, gun. Well, I'm going, Trump 45, is this the 45th administration? I think, yeah, the 45th president is now. So if he wins this one, he's still 45. I mean, it's not like...
Yeah, he's still 45.
Okay, So Trump is 45. So a Trump 45, I go, there has got to be a 45 caliber 1911 Trump out there. So we put it in. It's Cabot Guns, made in USA, and you go, own a piece of history, and blah, 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 blah. But it's made out of a meteor. From Gibson Meteorite, a precious and bold material which has traveled billions of miles through time and space and blah, 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 blah. And you look at these, you got to reserve them, and they're like reservation number 34 got whatever he wanted with the serial number. You can put whatever you want. Eisenhower's 34. So I guess he was an Eisenhower fan. $35,000. Another one, this guy put, what is it, Johnson 36. Who cares about Johnson? Whatever. And it's $30,000. He got a pair. This one guy got a pair, you know, and it says serial numbers Clinton 42 and Obama 44 and $60,000. But it has Trump 45. I don't know what their thought process is on naming these things. But, you know, they're like $30,000 a piece. Got it on you, Frank?
They're gorgeous. Oh, my gosh. There's only four or five left. I was going to buy one, but I don't know. I'll have to see. So,
be an investment later, but I'm sure you can. Hell, I just get one, get an anodyne, and have it, you know, customized myself. Yeah. I get it done for you for, I'll charge half.
I don't want to get too down topic, but, you know, it's interesting how much, you know, I do collect certain autographs. I have an amazing Star Wars autograph collection. Believe me, that's worth pretty money. And trying to get Harrison Ford on there. But I'll tell you what.
Tim Pachode has an autographed Donald Trump hat. Make America great again.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering how much Trump memorabilia is going to be worth in the future, depending on how this thing plays out. I have an unopened Trump board game, like from the 1980s, the original Trump games, unopened. So it's stuff like that. I kind of wonder if it'll have value. But anyway, that more serious things there with that. I wanted to tell you guys, there was a I was listening to Glenn Beck, actually, yesterday, just on my way home from work. It's the only thing that was on the radio, so I put it on. And, you know, he's still trying to do a mea culpa to Trump. It turns out that, you know, he did this huge apology again just about a week or so ago. And Donald Trump, for the first time in like 5 years, he said, retweeted one of Glenn Beck's tweets. So Glenn Beck is riding high right now. But in all fairness, it was a good tweet. It was about the Blaze television that last night they hosted a show, just like Freedom's Phoenix is kind of like helping kind of in the background and produce and to host Plandemic and many other documentaries. Well, Glenn Beck did one for basically about big tech manipulation of the media and search engines and the rest. And I don't know the name of it. I have to be honest. I was driving home with it. Check it out. It was on Blaze last night. It premiered. And also supposedly it's on YouTube, although he did claim who knows how long YouTube will keep it up. But it was a really good a documentary. Check it out. But here's the thing.
What's the name of it? What's it called?
I just said I don't know the name of it. If you look on Blaze TV right now, I'm sure it's still on there. About the media tech manipulation. But here's the thing. He had a guest on the show the other day that was helping advise on the movie. And, again, this is all because I was driving, so I don't have all the details. But I have the site, and it's fantastic. I already signed up for it. And the name of the site is called Humane Tech. So humane as if, you know, humane to animals, in this case human beings. HumaneTech.com. And I just want to read you guys the front page. This is a very serious grouping of basically people who know how bad it is out there, trying to inform our politicians.
Center for Humane Technology. Got it.
Humane Technology. And so here I'm going to read just the intro for their website. We are a team of deeply concerned technologists, policy experts, and social impact leaders who immediately understand how the tech industry's culture, techniques, and business models control 21st century digital infrastructure. Together with partners, we are dedicated to radically reimagining technology for the common good of humanity. Now, I heard him speak last night, an amazing individual. Definitely see if Donna can get him on your show. He is a fantastic guest. But he made a point that it really resonated with me, of all things.
All right, hold on. Let's make sure this happens now. Donna, I just sent you an email, Humane Tech. HumaneTech.com, and that needs to go up on Freedom's Phoenix. That link needs to go into the third hour today, and you need to get a representative from that website to come on the show. Oh yeah, when? No.
So, So anyway, he made an analogy to something that I really can relate to, and that is magic. I don't get too much from the cutesy, but it's one of my old hobbies because I'm a geek, is magic or with illusions. And I learned this when I was a kid. I actually focused on card swipes. So basically my friends don't allow me to play poker with them because they always think I'm cheating.
Wait. I got breaking news. Donna, look. What's that? Dead fly. Got him. Some bitch. Boom. I was hoping to get him before the end of the show. Oh, he's on my hand, and I went, see that guy. Woo-hoo! Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I'm so happy for you.
I am freaking ecstatic.
Your enthusiasm, your like fly orgasm you just had, that's going to be America after November.
This is my point. You just keep bugging people, and they're going to go, all right, you're in my laser. I'm going to get technology that's going to take you out of 14 green lasers focused on to the kind of pull dragon done. You know, so the humane tech guys, they are what? Warning us what's coming, creating tech that's defense?
The main message, I have to say, is a little bit maybe under the point of most libertarians. I mean, on this show, we talk all the time about the Google search engines and we're watching the manipulation. And many of us as libertarians, we're aware of this kind of manipulation for a long time. And even before Trump and even before search engines, you know, media bias in different ways, because when you happen to be a libertarian, you're up for attack from both the liberals and the conservatives. You know, they're all trying to keep you out and play games. But what this is doing is, and also libertarians, we tend to be more savvy. I mean, we're the ones that were early adopters of the Bitcoin and blockchain technology, and what people didn't understand. So we understand technology much, much deeper than most Americans. And so anyway, this is a fantastic site, I think, to sign up for their newsletter, at least. But one of the comments he mentioned was about magic, and I was bringing up magic when I do card swipes and such. You know, I can shuffle the deck in front of you up, down, sideways, and yet still I can force the card on you, and you won't even see it. I can even do a type of thing where I can riffle the deck. I mean, there's actually a Chris Angel bit you can see where we're on TV or the movie theater. I saw it once, you know, where he just flips through a deck, and the entire movie theater, everyone in there winds up picking the same card. So you think you have complete choice, and you don't. It's right there. You see all these cards in front of you, and yet you still pick the same card. And there's videos out there, if you want to put on Freedom's Phoenix. But the point is, it didn't even occur to me, because I focus on magic, and I love magic, because when you study it, it's not just to be cute and try and pick up girls, when I was younger. But the things, when you get older, you start to understand the science behind it, the psychology. Magic is not about the trick. It's everything that leads up to the actual maneuver. It's everything. It's the psychology. It's how you...
Until you get to the last 3 months of an election cycle, it's all build-up. You know, and then the fly won't leave you freaking alone until... Woohoo! Dead fly! Who are going to be the dead fly? Is it going to be Trump? You know, is it going to be the left, the progressive? It's they, them, those that won't leave you alone. That is, it's the fly. You know, I got people are trying to, it's like Trump said, they're not after me. They're after you. I'm just in the way. You know? So I'm going, you know what? America is going to rise up to the fly. And it's on so many levels. Donna's putting this up now. It's almost ready. It's done. Yeah, it's in the archives. You go push the button, you go to the top, and it's humanetech.com. Go to Freedom's Phoenix in 30 seconds, it'll be right there. Hey!